From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. So good to have you with us on this first day of the year. And you know what? Today, because this is the first day of the year, we're going to put first things first, and that is the Word of God. Now, that may seem a bit off topic for a program called Washington Watch, but if you listen to Washington Watch regularly, you know that the only way for us to watch Washington is through the lenses of Scripture. As believers, as followers of Christ, we need a biblical worldview. And how do you get a biblical worldview unless you spend time in the Word of God? And we discuss that a lot on this program. And as many of you know this, but last year, in fact, many of you are participating in it. Last year, FRC launched a two-year Bible reading plan. So we're now moving into the second year. Many of you have been with us on this journey. And if you haven't been, I encourage you to join us right now, right where we are. Just pick up. You don't have to go back to the beginning. Just start right where we are. We've got our Bible reading plan. You can go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get the calendar right there. Just dive in today. Start right where we are, which is in the book of Isaiah. Now, later in the show, we'll hear from some of our listeners who have actually been with us on this journey, and not surprisingly, being immersed in the Word of God has been impactful on so many of them. But first, to help us set this up, talking about the studying of God's Word, we're going to have a conversation with Harold Harper, FRC Senior Vice President and Chief of Staff. Harold was with us on Christmas Day. He comes back. We invite him on for all the big holidays. Harold has over 30 years of experience in personal, pastoral, and denominational ministry. He also has a heart for building up Christ-following families who are rooted in biblical faith in the face of increasing social and cultural pressures. Harold, welcome back to the program, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What an incredible time to be on the radio to talk about this important subject.
It is, and I think it's very appropriate, the first day of the year, and we're going to talk about how you can have be intentional, I should say, in this coming year in how you lead your family, mm-hmm. or just order your own steps. I mean, whether you're an individual, single, whether you're a parent, whether you're a child, a teenager, whatever, influence the world around you by getting rooted in the Word of God. But I want to start off by going over some interesting statistics. You know, over the course of several years, the Center for Bible Engagement has surveyed over 400,000 people across 20 countries from all different faiths and walks of life, and all about their spiritual lives. And they made some very interesting discoveries. And, you know, you say, what are some of those discoveries? Well, the key discovery from the Center for Biblical Engagement Research is that the life of someone who engages in Scripture four or more days a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. In fact, the lives of Christians who do not engage in the Bible most days of the week are statistically the same as the lives of non-believers. Does that surprise you at all, Harold?
Well, yes, I guess it does. I was just thinking about my own personal life in that matter. These stats are real important, you know, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I've been blessed to be a student of the Bible for a while. And when I think about starting out the new year, you know, I look back at typically every year at the end of the year, I look back at my journal. Usually through the month of December, look through, and I can see the impact that God's Word has had on me and how I've been able to apply it not only to my own life, to my work, and to my family as well.
So I know you've looked at that study. What were some of the findings regarding those who engaged in Scripture, you know, four or more days out of the week?
Well, the one that resonates to me is the one that talks about pouring into others and discipling others. That was probably the one that I'm most encouraged by, because we talk a lot about at FRC about a biblical worldview, and I'm quite amazed at even people in the church who really don't have do not know how to apply the Bible to to the situations that we encounter. And that's what I love that about our radio program is that you often do that. You bring in some of our staff and guests that help to look at everything through a biblical lens.
Well, and it's you can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
And so, you know, we find counsel with God as we seek His word and we find His direction. And if we don't have it, if we don't have a sense of direction, it's hard to give direction to others.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's so important that, you know, we're supposed to be the ones. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to encourage. And so I love the fact that many times in my daily conversations, whether it's a phone call or something going on in our family or a friend that calls or at work, what we have read, and as we go through the two-year Bible reading plan, the scripture comes to mind as we're having everyday conversations, and I'm weaving that into our conversations, even in an office meeting or in a phone call, because God serves up exactly the portion, sort of like, give us this day our daily bread.
Right.
And He gives us that portion of what we need.
You know, that's really a good point. I was thinking about that the other day. I was somewhere and I got some bread, and I thought about it. You know, the bread that I had on Sunday, if I ate that bread, it's not sufficient for today. I'd be hungry.
Right.
So the same is with the Word of God. It's daily bread. It just for the first time struck me. He said, "Our daily bread."
Mm-hmm.
And so it is. It's something that daily we, and of course, back in the day of the scripture, they didn't have the preservative, so you actually got real bread, and it was fresh. My girls make bread; they bake bread, and that's not very common today.
Right.
People buy bread off. The fact that we had some young people over, and they thought you actually how do you do that? You know, they thought everything just came in a bag off the shelf, and it was. I love fresh bread, and the same is where the Word of God. Wednesday's bread that we ate is not sufficient to meet our physical needs 3 or 4 days later.
Right.
And the same with the Word of God, the Word that was broken for us, the Word that was broken open, the fresh bread that was given to us on Sunday is not sufficient to feed us on Friday or Wednesday or Tuesday or Monday. We have to be in it every day.
Well, I even have a confession. There are times that, you know, I start off the morning strong, and then about maybe midday, you know, I start to lag a little. That's why I've started the discipline. I don't even remember when I started it, but for years now, I have kept my Bible open on my desk, and many of our staff have come in, and it's open to whatever we were reading that day, because I even need to dip into that daily bread midday or 2 hours later. And it's convicting that because I can start off so strong, just have a sweet. As a matter of fact, I get up real early in the morning, spend time in the Word, and then pretty much every morning at our office, I have morning prayer times with different guys, and I'm strong all the way up till about 10 o'clock, and then we start getting in the busyness of the day, and I'm like...
Well, I don't want to carry this analogy too far, but, you know, they say actually it's better to eat a lot of small meals than one big meal.
That's right.
And so, you know, those snacks on the Word of God throughout the course of the day, as Paul said, pray without ceasing.
That's right.
So I think it is an attitude. Before we actually have some audio clips. We have some comments that listeners have provided regarding how the Bible has impacted in the Bible reading program. But before we get to that, I'm going to wait to the next segment of the program. But I want to go back to the findings of this study about those who read the Bible more than 4 days a week. Some interesting statistics here. As you mentioned, they're more likely to disciple others and be involved in the lives of others. They're 228% greater, 228% more likely to share their faith with others. They are 59% less likely to view pornography, 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. And boy, when we've come through this year of the coronavirus, I mean, that's huge. This 31% less likely to struggle with forgiveness for others. They're more willing to forgive because they know what they've been forgiven of, and plus we're instructed to do that. Here's a big one. 416% more likely to give financially to their church. That's because they're operating from that biblical worldview. And 218 times more likely to give financially to causes other than their church. So, I mean, the Bible impacts our lives.
It really is amazing. The stat that you gave there, 59% less likely to view pornography. You know, I walk with a lot of men. We do our Stand Courageous Minutes events. And this simple truth, I mean, there are a lot of methods out there on how to accountability partners, all kind of things when it comes to men struggling with lust. But from my experience as a disciple or as a spiritual coach, if I can get someone in the Word every day, I see them transform. It's basically changing their appetite. You know, we are all hungry. The question is, what are we going to feed ourselves with? And we know from a lot of the stats that we get at FRC, we know that there are a lot of people feeding the wrong thing. Often you even talk about the daily news. Turn off some of the news that you're hearing and tune into Washington Watch, because whatever we're feeding is out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever we're feeding ourselves, that's what's going into our heart. That's what's coming out of our mouth and coming into our mind. So the more you spend time in the Word, the more you're filling up with the Word, the less likely you are to go and eat from some of these other places. And that's true. I mean, that's true physically. If we were to go out to lunch after this program and we eat a big meal, you're not going to be tempted to have a McDonald's hamburger if you just ate right at Longhorn or one of the steakhouses.
Well, it's what David said. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 that thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And it's a preservative. It keeps us from taking the wrong path and doing the wrong things. Now, Harold, we're going to get into a moment. We got about a minute here before we got to go, but to a break, and then we'll come back with some of the comments from our listeners. But I want to ask you this: how have you seen this Bible reading program that this journey we've been on as a team? We've done it individually. We're doing it as a team. How do you see it impacting us here at FRC?
Well, for one thing, it puts us all on the same page. And so that was a conversation. You were doing this with your family, for our listeners who don't know. And you said you had done it with your church staff. And now you're doing last year you started with FRC. And it has been a tremendous blessing because we're all able to reference. We're not having to bring up everybody up to speed on what we just read compared to what they've read. We're all reading the same thing. And then on our morning meetings, we have a morning conference call for our listeners that don't know that. And it's interesting to hear my colleagues sharing, and the different truth that we all get out of the same reading passage has just really been encouraging to me.
It really has, as everybody kind of looks at it. And it's very interesting how through our own orientation, we kind of pull different aspects of the scripture. But then when we share it together, it gives us this panoramic view of scripture. It's very powerful, very powerful. Well, folks, that music means we're up against a break, but we're coming back with more, and we're going to be hearing from some of you who have shared with us how the journey, this 2-year journey through the Bible, has impacted you. So that's coming up next on this special New Year's Day edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're coming right back with Harold Harper right after this.
In a recent poll, it was revealed that only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. This research also indicated that Christianity's teachings on abortion, marriage, and homosexuality are not only misunderstood, but seen as dangerous and subversive. In response to this trend, Family Research Council has released a new set of resources in our Biblical Worldview series. In addition to our full publications, which cover the topics of Christian political engagement, abortion, religious liberty, and human sexuality, FRC now offers helpful summaries of each publication in this series, as well as accompanying prayer guides to help you and your family pray through these important issues. And finally, our popular Biblical Principles for Political Engagement is now available in Spanish. All of these resources are free and available at frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
The history of religious persecution in China is extensive, and many are not aware of the current oppression of religious groups taking place there. China restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale. This religious persecution targets those of every faith. Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong practitioners are all victims of the Chinese Communist Party's efforts to suppress any set beliefs that might compete with the party's ideology. This campaign against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. Family Research Council's recently updated publication addresses China's consistent abuses of human rights and explains why they cannot be treated like any other country. Learn more about this issue by visiting frc.org/China.
Ever since the Supreme Court handed down its infamous Roe v. Wade decision in 1973 that legalized abortion nationwide, a national debate has raged over whether the government should fund abortion. In 1976, Congress banned taxpayer funding of abortion and Medicaid by passing the Hyde Amendment. Several states have followed suit, passing their own restrictions on abortion funding. However, because government funding is a complex system of joint federal and state programs, completely banning taxpayer funding for abortions and abortion businesses like Planned Parenthood is challenging. There is still much work to be done to free the American taxpayer from funding the horrific practice of abortion. Family Research Council's new publication clearly explains the Hyde Amendment and why we need to keep it in order to save taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion. Access this important information by visiting frc.org/Hyde.
Welcome back to this New Year's Day edition of Washington Watch. I hope you are having a great day. I hope you've enjoyed this time with family and friends. You know, I love this time of year, especially the week between Christmas and New Year's. Next to Thanksgiving is my favorite time of year because everybody is doing other things, so they leave you alone. I mean, you don't have to worry about business. And I've been making it at FRC. We close down during that week so people can spend time with family. This is where you can spend time with family and friends. But as we gear up for this new year, I want to challenge you to be thinking about what we're talking about today, and that is this 2-year journey through the Bible. And especially you fathers and mothers, I want to encourage you to be leading your families in a Bible reading plan. Doesn't have to be ours. It can be any of them. It doesn't matter. But the fact is, you just need to be in the Word of God. And Harold, we've got some of our listeners that we asked them to share their stories with us about their journey in the Scripture. And so I want to play a couple of those for our listeners. The first one comes from Carol in Texas. Let's play that clip.
Hi, this is Carol from Texas, and I wanted to share just how much I have been blessed and encouraged by Stand on the Word. The 2-year reading plan made it especially easy for me to recruit others to join me in reading through the Bible, and this became even more relevant when COVID caused us to move to a virtual group discussion time. And the thing that is so awesome to me, my friends have shared that it has helped to reawaken in them a desire to really get back into the Word, and it's brought them so much peace and comfort in the times when the stress has just been overwhelming and there's so much uncertainty in life and in the world and things that are going on around us. I just wanted to thank FRC for coming up with this plan. It's not as ambitious as a 1-year read through the Bible plan, but it's just amazing. And we will keep standing. Thank you.
Well, Harold, that actually speaks to one of the points you raised about mm-hmm. those that are in the Bible are willing to speak into the lives of others. And Carol,
who is a frequent listener to Washington Watch, a daily listener to Washington Watch, shared this with her friends. Use it as a tool to bring them in to the journey.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Carol, for calling in and sharing that with us. So encouraging to see how she is ministering to her friends and how it comes just out of the overflow. It's not, you know, I can see her just saying, why don't you do this with me? It's only one or two chapters, and it's just a real easy opportunity to invite people. You know, I've often talked to pastors about discipleship because it's something I'm very passionate about, and many, even pastors, sometimes struggle with how to begin with certain ones, and I have found that you just invite them to do what you're doing, and carry a few along the journey with you. And so, you know, it's such an easy thing to do. And here Carol has gotten involved, and now she's sharing it with others. It's very, very encouraging to me.
Well, it's when you get something and it's impactful to you and it's meaningful, you do want to share it. Mm-hmm. And this is an easy way to do it. She said it's not overly ambitious, to where you are overloaded. I mean, you're not having spent an hour a day reading multiple chapters. We've specifically designed this for people who are very busy, but intentional and taking 15 to 20 minutes based on how fast you read.
Yeah.
It's a starting point, and you can do more, but I have found it's a good pace. I can take my whole family through it, and that's, you know, as you mentioned, that's where we started with, you know, those that were in their 20s all the way down to my son. We started was just beginning to read, but he is in it big time now, and we continue to do it.
Your youngest son is in the other room, and I asked him, when you first started reading, and he said, no, I can't, because we've been doing it as far as I can remember. So that's a great testimony. And I think about that, you know, as he continues to grow, what a foundation to have. God's word is not going to return void. And to have that year after year, y'all have been doing this for a while. And I love that you can easily text it out to your friends. I've had friends that are actually listening to the word through the Bible app on their way in to work. There's so many different ways that you can apply this Bible reading plan. And I just want to encourage some of our listeners, it's never too late to start. All you have to do is just start. Just try to give it a try and see how it does. You do it for 30 days. What do they say about how long it takes to become a routine? I think it's 30.
It's 18 days. You do something 18 days in a row, and it becomes a part of it. I want to, before we come up against another break, you mentioned you have friends that listen to it online or listen to it on their phone. I mean, there's so many tools today, and frankly, a lot of people have difficulty reading. They don't like to read. And so you can listen. And we've got a message that came in, an email from Jessica that came in regarding her family. She says, my sons and I are on track with this two-year plan, daily reading together. My husband is a born-again believer in Christ, but since he hates reading, Bible reading was not ever in his day that I know of. However, he does listen to some Christian radio programs while working sometimes and faithfully attends church and supports our family spiritually in other ways. What a blessing this stay work at home order has been, because for the past three nights, my husband has joined us in the shared reading scripture at night. And that, as she goes on to say, that's become a pattern now. She says, you're releasing the Bible reading plan is reaching into our family and making change, real change. This could be the start of a wonderful thing for us. Thank you, FRC.
Yeah, I love that. I was thinking about that, you know, when my older two, I used to drive them to school every morning, the morning commute. And if I had had the apps now that you have now, back then, we would have played that on the way into school every morning. I mean, it's just a simple way to get the truth. And then I would have picked a translation that they could have all understood. So, again, for our listeners who are not in a Bible routine, I want to encourage you to give this one a try. It's a great tool.
Absolutely. What a great way to start this new year of laying out if nothing else, just invite your family to join with it. You start on the journey, and as Carol did, invite others to join with you, and the impact of it will grow. All right, we're up against a break, but we're going to come back and hear from some more Washington Watch listeners about how their journey of reading the Bible is going and how it's impacting their families. So you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins along with Harold Harper on this New Year's Day, and we're coming back with more right after this message.
The history of religious persecution in China is extensive, and many are not aware of the current oppression of religious groups taking place there. China restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale. This religious persecution targets those of every faith. Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong practitioners are all victims of the Chinese Communist Party's efforts to suppress any set beliefs that might compete with the party's ideology. This campaign against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. Family Research Council's recently updated publication addresses China's consistent abuses of human rights and explains why they cannot be treated like any other country. Learn more about this issue by visiting frc.org/China.
What's on your daily or weekly reading list? Are you looking for honest and informative commentary from fellow believers on the current issues facing our culture? Family Research Council has just the thing. Check out FRC's blog at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts as well as outside contributors. On our blog, you can read about a wide variety of topics, including religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture. Read up on some of our latest titles like Four Disturbing Trends in Religious Freedom Worldwide, Legitimizing Looting Jeopardizes Liberty for All, The Media Still Doesn't Get It, Conservatives Tend to Vote Conservative, and more. At Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in the culture by helping you live out your faith and to stand for truth. Our blog is here to help you do that. Stay informed and get the resources you need at frcblog.com.
Welcome back to this New Year's Day edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. And I'm so glad to have Harold Harper with us today, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and the Chief of Staff. We're talking about the two-year Bible reading journey that we've been on as a team. Many of our supporters have joined us. In fact, we just heard from Carol. We're going to hear from some others. Harold, this is... It's been pretty exciting because I think the timing of this, given what we've gone through this last year, it was a God thing.
Right. I agree. And I'm blessed to be here this past year. This has been a tremendous blessing. And, of course, we didn't know about COVID when we started this.
No.
So it was definitely, I'm so glad God put this on your heart. And also, it came out of the overflow of what you've been doing with your family. Share with our listeners just a little bit about, you know, how you've done this. You keep a busy schedule, yet your family, y'all are all reading this together. Share that with our listeners.
Well, it was a number of years ago. I wanted to do a family devotional, so I was looking at all these different devotional books, and I've got a pretty large span. You know, my oldest is 30, my youngest just turned 13, yeah. And so there's a big age difference in there. We've got five kids. And I could never find the devotional that I just felt like it worked. And then, you know, in praying through it, I felt the Lord just said, why not use the Bible? and so, okay, all right, I'll try that. So we began doing just reading through the Bible together. We started with, you know, like Proverbs, mm-hmm. and different things. And then it moved in to a look at the Bible chronologically, yeah. and trying to break it into chunks that was not overwhelming, that we could do together. And so we kind of began into this pace of a two-year through the Bible. And then I was pastoring at the time. We brought our church into it. And then it just kind of began to develop. And for my kids, what I did to try to an element of accountability, but also we all kind of like challenges. You know, yeah. we have to be able to respond to things. And so with each daily reading, I would come up with a couple of questions, you know, that you would answer knowing that you read it, but also, you know, especially the younger kids, competitive, they want to get the answer today.
Right.
And so I would, what I've been doing really since we started this was every morning I send them a text with the passage for the day.
It's like a group text?
It's like a group text. Well, I do it individually because they would copy off each other the answers. So my wife said, you need to do it. Originally, it was a group text, but she said, you need to do it individually because some of them are, they're just pasting the other answers. So we I started doing individually. And no matter where I am, whether I'm in Washington, whether I'm in Sudan, they get a text. Ideally, it comes in around 7 a.m. Central Time. They get that text every morning with the passage for the day and the two questions that go along with it. And then some are a little better than others in responding to the questions. But what's been fascinating, Harold, what has been so rewarding as a father has been accompanying this on Sundays. We don't have a set reading. Mm-hmm. We actually just have a discussion. And so Sundays have become, and I have to stretch back. I don't remember when it started, but it's been years. Sundays are our discipleship day. So after lunch on Sunday, we clear the table. We may bring on dessert, and then we go around the table and we begin to discuss what we learned this week and what the Lord has spoken to us individually through the Word. And it's been so rewarding and so encouraging to watch my children grow and to engage in these conversations about the Word of God. And Harold, it's so timely because there's not a week that has not gone by where there's something we read during the course of the week that has application to what's happening in the world around us.
Yes, and probably in your family and in your church. I mean, that's just the beauty of God's Word and how it works. We probably don't have enough time for this, but you have a couple of, you and Luana have a couple of family traditions that have worked well. So if you can't get to it in this segment, maybe in the next segment. But I want to also talk about some of those spiritual markers. Y'all, something y'all been doing for a long time, and that's an interesting story. And then the other one is just your family movie night, your family fellowship night on Friday nights. That's an important time. So I think this plays well to Deuteronomy 6, is what we're supposed to do as dads. We're supposed to be teaching them the Word as we go, as we walk alongside, as we live life with them. And I love how every family is different. You do it differently than I do it my family, but I think our listeners would be encouraged just to hear some just simple things just by setting aside that Sunday or setting aside that Friday and then being disciplined every morning to text your kids the reading. Those simple things. I think my point is, if you're listening today, just begin somewhere. Just start.
Yeah, and it's as you said, every family is different. And the thing about it, there's freedom here. Just pray, let the Lord lead you, but do something. But what's so rewarding about those Sundays is that I'm watching in my children, now adults, I have all but one is an adult now, but they have developed a biblical worldview through this, through these conversations, because they'll ask questions, we talk about it, and it, I have to tell you, as a father, it's been a highlight for me. In fact, I consider them my church. I have pleasure in shepherding my family than an entire church. Mm-hmm. It's so rewarding and encouraging. So, fathers, I encourage you to prayerfully consider this year leading your family through some form of Bible study. And a journey like this, just 2 years, two-year journey is a great way to start. All right, Harold, we're running up against the clock here. We're going to come back because we're going to hear from some of our listeners who have called in and shared their stories. So, folks, don't go away. We're going to be back with more of this New Year's Day edition of Washington Watch. Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The
consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain. And explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold.
Ever since the Supreme Court handed down its infamous Roe v. Wade decision in 1973 that legalized abortion nationwide, a national debate has raged over whether the government should fund abortion. In 1976, Congress banned taxpayer funding of abortion and Medicaid by passing the Hyde Amendment. Several states have followed suit, passing their own restrictions on abortion funding. However, because government funding is a complex system of joint federal and state programs, completely banning taxpayer funding for abortions and abortion businesses like Planned Parenthood is challenging. There is still much work to be done to free the American taxpayer from funding the horrific practice of abortion. Family Research Council's new publication clearly explains the Hyde Amendment and why we need to keep it in order to save taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion. Access this important information by visiting frc.org/Hyde.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
Welcome back to this New Year's Day edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And if we've piqued your interest in the 2-year Bible reading plan, you can find it at TonyPerkins.com. We've got a link, but you can also go to frc.org/Bible. Don't be intimidated by the fact that, we started a year ago. Just pick it up right where we are. We're going to do it again next year. We're going to continue to do this because every time you open the Word of God, you find something new in how it speaks to you. My guest, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council, and our Chief of Staff, Harold Harper. Harold, so glad that you're spending New Year's Day with me.
Well, me too. I love this topic, though. It's really important to me and to my family.
Well, it is for you because I know that you don't like even more so than I don't like politics, don't like Washington, D.C., and would have never envisioned yourself being here at mm-hmm. Family Research Council other than that for about 7 years. I prayed that the Lord would lead you here, and here you are.
Well, you know, one of the things you learn when you study the Bible is that when you've committed your life to the Lord and He is Lord, He's the one that calls the shots. And throughout Scripture, as I've studied characters in Scripture, I'm just amazed at, I think you know this, one of my favorite passages in the Scripture is when God was calling Moses. And it literally says, you'll have to go look this up because the listeners will, if you're not familiar with your Bible, you won't believe it says this, but Moses says, "Oh Lord, please, please send someone else." And I just relate that, I relate to that verse.
Well, and I think even when you were contemplating coming, 6 years ago,
You shared that passage with me.
I think I shared it in chapel at FRC.
But, you know, these are important things. And so I encourage you folks to, especially fathers, because I want to play another comment from one of our listeners about a men's group that's been using this prayer guide, or this Bible reading guide. And let's play clip number two, please.
I'm a retired physician and longtime supporter of FRC. Thank all of you for your continued fight for hope and biblical righteousness. I lead the men's war room prayer group at our church in Zanesville. We use FRC's Stand with the Word biblical study to steady ourselves against the unwanted changes we see about us. The FRC study questions very often seem targeted to answer difficult questions arising from today's hysteria. For example, 2 weeks ago, Isaiah 22:8-11 told all of the human elements going into Hezekiah's siege preparation, just as we have human preparations against the COVID siege. But the questions made us look carefully at the action the Lord desired that was well beyond Hezekiah's efforts. Last week, we were able to make analogies of Isaiah 28's reap of Samaria, stumbling prophets, and the Lord's rising up to do his alien work with what we see today. These studies are also being channeled through a powerful Catholic network, so I praise God for your work and his blessings of your work. God bless you all.
Harold, I don't think we could be more encouraged to hear a men's group using this, because this year we also launched the Stand Courageous Men's Conference, mm-hmm. which General Boykin has been leading. But when men get in the Word of God and they begin to pray, things begin to happen.
Amen. I've had the blessing of leading a breakout session to men on the subject of parenting and being the spiritual leader of their home. And one of the things that really struck me as I'm studying the scripture was the scripture of Noah. When you look at Noah and some would say it was a ridiculous request of God to build an ark in your backyard. But when you look at his boys, it's quite amazing to me that with all the temptations going on, these young men stayed true to they followed the lead of their dad, and they built this ark. And I know there had to be a lot of criticism, but why would they not be pulled away? I mean, as a prodigal my own self, I didn't often follow the lead of my dad. I wanted to run my own life. But what an incredible testimony to Noah. And I believe it was because he was a man under God's authority, and he modeled to his boys. And so they stayed loyal out of all the, you just think about it, that it said all the pleasures known to man were going on that time. That's why the Lord brought the flood. But anyway, it's one of the fathers we look at when we do our breakout session. We look at Noah.
That is so good, because that there was just a study out recently about the growth in the number of non-affiliated people called nuns, the young people not associated with religion. And a large part of that, Harold, is that young people see, I'm going to use this word, it's strong, but it's real, it's true, hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. You know, parents will go to church on Sundays, they'll take their kids to church, but they're not living out the faith authentically before their children. And the one way we keep our children anchored to the faith is that we take them on the journey with us. We're leading them. We're not just taking them to Sunday school, let the Sunday school teacher teach them. We're doing life with them. And so much of that, as you quoted the scripture earlier in Deuteronomy, where in the way we're talking about it, mm-hmm. we're when we sit down, we talk about it. When we rise up, we talk about it. So we're just doing life from a biblical perspective, and we're integrating it into everything we do. And a Bible reading plan, you know, again, not overwhelming, 15 to 20 minutes a day. Dad's reading it, mom's reading it, the kids are reading it, and on Sundays you're talking about it. There's a couple things around our house that are non-negotiable, mm-hmm. and I've given a little more space as the kids get older. But if you live in my house, mm-hmm. I don't care how old you are, if you live in my house, and you're welcome to stay as long as you want. I'm not one for pushing my kids out. I love them. But you're going to read the Bible, and you're going to participate in our discipleship time. And if at all possible, you're going to be there Friday night for pizza and a movie.
Yeah.
So we can have fellowship together.
Good family time.
Bond. My kids don't know of a Friday night where we didn't have pizza and a movie. That has always been the case since they've been born. And they the younger ones cannot remember a time when we didn't have a discipleship time.
Amen. And I've heard you talk about it's gotten a little harder to find appropriate movies these days.
It has, but they're all pretty much black and white.
Yeah, go back in the old vault. But, you know, as we think about, you make a good point, as we think about parenting in the scripture, another character we look at in our men's time, our breakout session, is Jesse as a dad. And the thing that we look at there is that when Samuel came in to anoint the next king, Jesse had all of his boys there except one. And I asked the question, why wasn't David there? And I think, you know, when we look at parenting, there's a lot going on in the world. I've heard Jerry Vines preach on this passage where he talked about all the different things that were represented in those boys that were there. But David was not there because Jesse didn't look at the heart. And, you know, because we have that scripture, it gives us a reference point to be able to look at, to take a lesson of parenting from Jesse. He did some things wrong. And we talk about the fact that when we stand and give an account before heaven, our kids, God's not going to ask us about our kids' grade point average,
yeah,
their batting average, what school they got into. We're going to have to stand and talk about giving them, discipling them by sharing out of the overflow, modeling to them what's important.
Yeah. And I do want to encourage fathers and mothers who are leading and want to lead, be the spiritual leaders of their home. That, you know, it's not always going to be perfect. I mean, there have been, sure, times, and I've got a couple that, you know, are a little more resistant to the leadership and may not have anything to offer on that Sunday, mm-hmm, that we have the discipleship time, but they were there. They sat, they listened, and I encouraged them strongly at times to have something the following week. But the fact is they're hearing.
That's
they're
right.
Listening. And they're also witnessing that this is a priority for dad.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, and I think we've talked about, I think in the last program that we did back on Christmas Day, that, you know, our faith that we have as parents has to become the faith of our children. We can't make it their faith.
Right.
But as they see us model it, mm-hmm, there comes a point in their lives where they make that decision and they choose. But if they haven't seen it, if they haven't seen it modeled, if we haven't raised them up in the way that they should go,
that's right,
it's kind of hard for them not to return to it when they're old. So if we're teaching them, pouring into them, but not seeing the results just yet, don't get discouraged, parents. Harold, you're an example, right?
That's right. I am definitely an example. But, you know, thinking about that, I think about my mom. The one thing, when I came to crashing to the end of my life in my early 20s, and I was trying to think through my friends and even my friends' parents, it was my mom's testimony that no matter how bad I treated her or cussed her or whatever I did to disappoint her or to embarrass her, because, you know, I was sometimes the talk of the neighborhood. She had something. She had a relationship with Christ, and so what she had was what I wanted. And that was basically my prayer of surrender. Lord, if I can have just a portion of the relationship that she has with you. We were all boys in our family, and none of us treated her with the respect that, including my dad. And so I kind of treated my mom the way my brothers and my dad treated her. We just did not respect her well. But she loved us unconditionally. She modeled Christ's love, and I knew she had a relationship with Christ because that's the only possible way that she could have kept going. And she's still going today as a strong testimony. She gives out Bibles everywhere she goes. She's 89. But I think that's a lesson for me. I want my kids to want what I have. And so we talk about in coronavirus, we talk about a lot about being contagious. Well, I want to be spiritually contagious, that my kids see something in me, not just the fact that I'm up in the morning reading the Word, but they actually see evidence of the Word being applied to my life. And as I've said, when we've done marriage conferences, I want my wife to say that my husband is not the man she married. He's a better man because I've been spending time in the Word, and I spend time with other men as iron sharpens iron, because that is the only hope for me to be a good dad, is to learn from the Father, yeah, our Heavenly Father.
And I've also learned in this journey that, as you've pointed out, we don't always get it right. Mm-hmm. And I have found myself apologizing more to my children and to my wife when I don't get it right.
Yeah.
More than I have in the past, because I think I'm more cognizant mm-hmm. of when I get it wrong, because before me every day is the standard.
That's right. It's like looking in the mirror. We're looking in the mirror of God's Word, and we're asking Him to show us, because we certainly, especially at this season of our life, that we want to live for Him. There is no other reason to live but to live for God and to be His ambassador. You see that as you get older. You're not living for money. You're not living for recognition or approval.
You're
living for the Lord.
That's right. All right, I want to get in another clip here before we run out of time. Another comment from one of our listeners. Heather called and left this comment.
Hi, this is Heather, and I was just calling in to share something that God has revealed to me this year through His Word. The day in February that China shut down, I believe it was 80 of its cities, I happened to be reading in Job for my Bible reading that day, and I happened to be reading Job 37, and the verse 37:7 says, "So that everyone He has made may know His work, He stops all people from their labor." And so right then I realized that God was using the pandemic. Of course, I didn't know it was coming for sure to the United States yet, but I knew that He was using the pandemic to get everybody's attention so that He could teach us about Himself. And so I just pray that we would all remember that that's our primary purpose always, of course, is to turn other people's hearts to Him, and that He's using this pandemic as a way to give us an easier opportunity to do that. Thanks.
See, Harold, that's exactly what we're talking about when we talk about a biblical worldview, looking at the events around us through the lenses mm-hmm. of Scripture. And you can't do that unless you're in the Word of God. And so here, Heather's sharing, this happened, just happened to be reading this and saw God's hand at work.
Well, and we know that from other listeners and supporters that our partners that we've talked to. I think just imagine what it's like to go through this past year without having the filter of God's Word and His perspective. You know, that I tell my friends, quit listening to the secular news so much, because you're only getting one portion. But when you're in the Word, you can listen, and you've got a measure, a standard to discern truth.
Well, it's kind
versus
of a filter,
yes,
to filter out all the pollutants. You know, it's like an air filter. Whereas we cannot bury our head in the sand or be hiding in a cave. Mm-hmm. We've got to know what's going on around us, but not anxious about it. Looking at these events through the sovereignty and the power and the grace and the mercy of God.
I think that's another thing that for us as a staff that's come out of our Bible reading, I think we've all been a little more intentional about applying the Word. And again, God's timing has been so awesome in that He put this on your heart to start last January. We're halfway through now, and we certainly want to invite our listeners to journey with us as we take on year two of our two-year Bible reading plan.
And folks, you can do that. Go to TonyPerkins.com or go to FRC.org/Bible and pick up right where we are in the book of Isaiah or any reading plan. You can start with Proverbs, but the main thing is to get in the Word of God this year. Harold Harper, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, thanks so much for joining. It's always great to visit with you. And folks, it's great to visit with you as well. And I do pray that the Lord would bless you and strengthen you and encourage you. May He make His face shine upon you in 2021 as you walk with Him in fellowship and in faith. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words that the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, "When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing."
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.
Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.